we'll probably have two more lessons. Because every time I get through with the previous lesson, I think about something that I didn't get to. And but it would help if I looked down. But I never think to look at my notes. But yeah, I did. But and they change every week. But my notes are not they're not like, you know, they're just things that I jot down that I think about. But anyway, I did write this down. The whole subject that we were talking about was from Melissa. When she asked about how do you keep your body in subjection, and since we're just here, I'm just going to ask that question to see what we've been over is sticking with us. I would ask you guys, how do we keep our body in subjection, and what does it mean to keep your body in subjection? You learn the doctrine so you can practice it. That's how you keep your body in subjection. Is you learn the doctrine that we can practice it. And the practice leads to what? To godliness. I didn't say perfection. Godliness is just doing what God, thinking what God's thinking, doing what God's doing, and you know that you're a part of His purpose. You know, most people say they'll say, "I know that this is what God wants me to do," and they'll say it like photography or football. Or something that's totally unrelated to what God is doing. Because we know God, his goal is for us to be ambassadors first. We're saints first. And everything else is after that. So my job is sales second. Right?
Right.
Or whatever we do is second or third, right? As long as you know what's first.
Right, yeah.
But without the doctrine, you can't walk worthy. Because there's no way, you don't know how. When you know, our teachers used to say that, when you know better, you do better. And Ed said something, and I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget, about we should bring every thought into captivity to Christ.
Yes.
That was second. I think it was 2 Corinthians. Look at that, 2 Corinthians.
I wish I did that well. That's
hard. Well, you can. You can do that well.
She said.
2 Corinthians. She said, but she's willing.
Yes.
So it's God that works in us both to will. And to do of His good pleasure. So she couldn't tell God. She says, I want to do it, God. And what would He say?
He said, read the doctrine.
Read the doctrine. That's what He would say. You're right, Frank. And believe the doctrine. 2 Corinthians chapter 10.
Isn't lust and free will a contradiction of each other?
No. That's
no,
what...
It's not a contradiction.
No.
He already knows what you're going to do before you're born.
Free will is... Well, that's why He gives us the doctrine. Is to change your will.
But when you're young, like all these young people are in here, and I know Melissa's not young, but it's later on in life you started learning the doctrine. Most young people may study it in school, Catholic schools, where they're harsh and mean and slap you with a baseball bat or a ruler, but put those two things together, free will and lust. Lust is a powerful thing.
And that's more what he said.
Well, they're both powerful. Free will is very powerful.
Is it more powerful than God?
No, but God gave you those two things.
But is anything that we experience or any...
No, I'm just talking about. No, I'm talking about youth now. I'm not talking about myself. Don't misunderstand me.
Whether old or young, we still have an old man. And we'll probably look at some things that'll help us out. And I see what you're saying, Frank. But the thing is that's where we believe the doctrine is. Does God have a limit on His grace? Does He have an age limit on His grace?
No.
He says, well, you know what? It won't work for you until you get 40. Or does he say, you know, it'll really kick in when you get 60? He doesn't say that.
Right.
It's available. Just like his grace for salvation is unto all and upon all that what? Believe. So.
And the younger you grasp that,
the better off you are. I'll tell you why. Let me tell you this.
At a young age.
When I was a teenager, we used to go visit my grandmother, and it was no ifs, ands, or buts. If you went to visit her, you were going to church on Sunday. Period. No questions asked. You come in, and we sat down, and I'm young, teenager. And the old man, it was in his prime, right?
Yeah.
So I sit there. And I'm hearing the message. And the reason why, you know why it didn't work? Because the doctrine wasn't correct. The doctrine wasn't correct. But even with that, it was enough to convict me. So I would sit there and I would say, you know, I want to be saved. I really do. But they had so many hurdles for me to jump. I said, well, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going down the aisle. I'm not going to tell these people. I'm not walking in front of all these extra things they put in front of me. It watered down the doctrine. So it watered down. It wouldn't. The doctrine was it was what Paul said. It was perverted. They had perverted the grace of God. So I went out and I kept going to the world. I did what the world told me to do. Until one day I read the doctrine. When he said this in one verse, he says, the day that you knew the grace of God in truth. The grace of God in truth.
Yeah, that's a great verse.
That is, I would say this. The grace of God, 100 proof, where it wasn't mixed with anything else. Just Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You could be saved by trusting Him today. Just Him. You don't have to quit this, quit that, because that's what we do. Is we think about
clean up.
I got to get cleaned up first, and then come. But the doctrine doesn't say that. It says he cleans you up.
He do the work.
Trust Him, and He imputes to you. You get as clean as you get as clean as He is.
Almost.
See, you get as clean as He is.
Okay.
Look at, or we won't go back. Well, you know, it's the same book. Just flip back to chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's 10 and 5, right? But we're going to flip back to chapter 5 and read this real quick. Chapter 5, verse 21. Well, let's go back to verse 19. He says this, to wit, or to know, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Here it is. Frank, if I would have known that day that God wasn't mad at me, or God wasn't up there counting everything I did bad.
He wasn't holding a grudge.
See, they would say this: God's going to get you for doing that stuff. You need to stop doing that stuff. And I would say, well, I'm not going to stop doing that stuff, so I can't be saved. But he said he's already forgiven us. He's not imputing the trespasses against us. He's not putting it on your account. He's not mad. I didn't know that. That doctrine wasn't communicated to me. So naturally, my focus is not on what he did, it's on what I'm doing. So I never turned to Christ because he couldn't possibly want me, because look what I'm doing. Look what I'm thinking. Look what I want to keep doing. So forget it.
But how old were you when that happened?
I was a teenager. I was still a teenager.
But when
from there to
till you read the doctrine yourself.
Until
how
I
were you then?
I want to say 20. I was 20.
That's not maturity yet.
It was in 1986. 1986. Yeah.
So you're around it all your life.
I was peppered with it.
That was great.
I mean, you know, you go and it was isolated, you know. It was, you go, when I vacation, we go there Sunday. You're talking about maybe 2 weeks out of a year.
You never want your parents to take you to church?
No. The environment I grew up in was not a church environment. So it was, that's how I can look back and I'd see how powerful, even that piece of word, how powerful it is. So we look at, we don't believe that the doctrine will work. It'll work. Because here's a man who was, he was stabbing me with a butter knife, and it still hurt. When you talk about the sword of the Spirit,
yeah.
He was stabbing me with a butter knife, and it still hurt.
Sure.
It got my attention.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think if he was using the right doctrine, preaching the right doctrine.
But the majority of the people that go to church,
they hear the wrong doctrine. They get the wrong.
Yes.
That's why we clown so much.
Mm-hmm.
That's why
I'm always cutting up.
Stupid,
huh?
No, I
don't know the doctrine.
Or you don't believe the doctrine.
Oh, I believe it. So, I believed it my whole life. It's just I went to church like you did. Very seldom.
And well, you know what?
Everything you're saying I can relate to, because I wasn't going to get up there.
Right. That's not the doctrine. See, you knew a doctrine. You didn't know the doctrine of grace.
I didn't know it well, but that's what they preached when I went.
All right, you hear me? Look, that's what we said. Same thing. We didn't know. We knew a doctrine. We didn't know the doctrine, and we'll bring that out later. They gave us their version of the doctrine, but that's not God's version. So it didn't work effectually. So anyway, look, he says this, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Everybody in here, have you been reconciled to God? Personal.
Yes.
I don't know.
Okay, well, we're going to find out. He says he's not holding anything against you.
Oh,
like you said this. You said, well, we all think things right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we think things all the time, don't we? If you look at yourself, you'll never see a way that you could be saved. Because you say, well, I think bad. I talk bad. I act bad. I am bad. But when you get saved, and I'll do this. This is what I used to do with the kids. And we're nothing but big kids. That's how we are. And I would take this guy. Here's a guy right here. All right. This is a... I'm trying to draw his arm. Anyway, here he is. All right. He's bent over. That's us. Right. That's us. Here's his big bag of sins right here. All right, give me one.
Give me a sin.
Censor it. Give me. We'll just say sin.
Lust of all things.
All right, there you go. Okay. Lust.
Okay, adultery.
All right, adultery.
Okay.
Cursing, all right.
Covetousness,
all right. All right. Ones that we haven't got to yet. So I will say, you know, killing, all the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments in here, any list in Romans, adultery, fornication, covetousness, boast, all those things that we see, the Romans 1, Galatians 5, Colossians, Ephesians, all those verses that, all those things. We carrying those around. And he says, bring them to me. He says, I'm not looking at these. I'm not holding those against you, but you carrying them around. You carrying that weight around daily, weekly, monthly. Don't we?
Yes.
We're just carrying around. And he says, one day, this invitation will run out. And what you going to do with the bag? You'll be left what? You'll be left holding the bag. He says, bring me
the bag.
Bring me the bag. He wants the bag. He says, I paid for the bag. Okay? Now, you get to the cross. He says, we died with him, right? He's on the cross, right? Jesus Christ is on the cross, right?
Yep.
We come to him by faith. You say, when I come to him, when he died, guess who was on there?
Me.
I died.
Yeah.
Christ died for
our sins.
Mm-hmm. He died for our sins, right? Mm-hmm. When he died, we died, right?
Right.
He was buried, right?
Yeah.
When he was buried, who? I'll tell you like I tell them. Don't say we.
Me.
I died. When he was crucified,
I was
crucified. When he was buried,
I was
here. When he rose,
I rose.
You get here, he says, no. He died, he's buried, resurrected. You come out on this side.
Smiley face.
Well, a happy man.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Where's the bag?
He got lost.
He got married.
The other side of the cross.
As far as far away as the east is from the west.
So, Frank, we were born. That sin bag was waiting on us.
Just you're right.
Yes,
right, you got the sin bag without anything you did.
Adam,
by one man, sin entered into the world, and all you did over time
was keep filling
the bag up, right?
Getting bigger and bigger.
I mean, it's an example, but you get the example, right? Mm-hmm. So when he comes through, you can look at this, and he says, "I paid for them all."
Mm-hmm.
I paid for sins, sin that's in you, right? Mm-hmm. He took care of everything. When you come out there, that's why he said this, and look at 2 Corinthians. He said this. He says,
look at what?
He says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For, to further explain this, he hath made him to be what?
Sin.
To be sin. He had made him to be sin. They say, you're a sinner. He was made a sinner for you. Well, he's covetous. He was made a covetous man for you. Well, he's lust. He took all that upon him. He's all that. Everyone. Whatever you could think of. He took it on himself. And he said this. He says he made him. He wasn't sin. He made him to be sin for you. Well, why did he do that? That you.
That's me.
That you might be made the righteousness. Where?
In him. By faith.
Everything that God demanded for righteousness, Christ was it. And he says, now, you bring me this, and I'll give you
eternal life.
I give you my righteousness. That's what God likes. We would just say that. That's his righteousness. That's like your little halo. He said, you give me that, and I'll give you this. So when God looks down, what does he see? This or this?
He
sees that. And he said this, and you didn't earn it. He said, I made you that. If you have to make something happen, like they said, well, put this square peg in this round hole.
You have to make it around, carve it around.
It won't fit. But if you drive it in there, and then he's right. He says, now, all natural reasons, you don't work out, Frank. Me either. None of us. He says, but I made you righteous. It's something he did. He made you righteous. You don't think it. You don't feel it. But faith, the doctrine, when you read it, says, I made you righteous. Now, but I didn't stop there. He put something in you.
The Holy Spirit.
Wonder why he did that.
Keep slapping that devil out of you.
Now, you know, when we were sinners, well, I'm going to try to piggyback this. When we were sinners, we would say, this is us right here. Draw us another man here. This is us right here. Mm-hmm. All right, you got your old dirty mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll say, what does that look like?
Candle.
Mm-hmm. The scripture said this. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord.
Okay.
Searching the innermost parts of the belly. Do you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Searching the innermost parts of the belly. That's how he
described.
He's operating in you like that. So, Romans 1 said this. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful. But they became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was
darkened.
The candle went out. So, if the light goes out, what's inside of you?
Darkness.
Right. It's darkness. So, and you start, he says, you do those things that are not convenient.
Mm-hmm.
the lust of the flesh, all those things you do. So he said, well, when you come to Christ, this is how it works. We'll say, here's the word of God. Right? Every time you hear it, another thing, he says, your word is a light
to my feet,
a lamp
to my path.
Okay. Every time you get some of that word, you think it's going to your mind here, and what he has to do is get through that old thinking. Get through that old thinking that we have. You got years of, that's where you talk about the age. Here's where it comes in. You have years of bad information that's being stored up in you. That's in opposition. That's where we're going to Corinthians. It's in opposition to what God wants. It's against him. It's contrary to him. It's the carnal mind. The carnal mind, he said, it's enmity. It's the enemy against God. But the word comes through, and is it powerful?
Sharper than two-edged sword.
Sharper than two-edged sword. It pierces asunder of the soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents. Every time you hear it, it either penetrates through there, or you build up
a callus.
Paul calls it a dead conscience, a reprobate mind.
As I grew up, lusting of the flesh was not the only lust. The major one was knowing or believing that I could do everything myself.
Okay, well, that's pride. That's pride. Pride's in the bag, too.
It was more of a lust because I strive for that daily, making things happen.
Okay.
At a young age, if you understood this, it would make all of that much easier because I've only learned it in the past 3 years, that's the way it works.
Well, that goes back to the age, where the younger, like Roy said, the younger you get this, the easier it is.
Well, if you start out from youth, but look at all of these kids that start out in a Bible family that is driven into the doctrine. Okay, you're right, into the doctrine. Tell them they can't do this, they can't do that, and you got to do this, and you got to do that.
That's not the doctor. If you say you're sick, right, and you go to the doctor, and you say, what's wrong, Lawrence? Well, I got this bad pain in my side. And he says, well, take these aspirin and then see how that works out for you. Now, he prescribed him the medicine, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not working. So he comes back and he says, man, my side's still hurting. And he says, well, here, rub this on there and then come back and see me. And it still doesn't work. He keeps prescribing things, but it's not the correct prescription.
He should have sent him to a chiropractor.
Now, this is what delivers us from a guilty conscience. Is the proper doctrine. I can't remember the last time I seriously doubted my salvation because I believed the doctrine. I know when he died for me, he died for everything that was wrong with me. I know that. You know how I know that? Because I believe the doctrine. Look, he said he hath made us acceptable. If I didn't know anything but that one verse. And he says in Ephesians, he says, he has made us fit. He hath made us acceptable in the beloved, having forgiven us all trespasses. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. He has taken all our trespasses and nailed them to his cross. If you read that, if you read that doctrine and believe it, there's, I don't question what he has done anymore. I don't question that. People who walk around trying to gain salvation, they've never heard the doctrine.
That is true.
And if they heard it, they didn't believe it. So the word comes in, and sooner or later, when you believe it, it goes down, and he'll like that
quickened.
That's it. He'll quicken your dead spirit. We call it salvation. When you believe it. And then he says, now you got what it takes. But there's other things that happens too. You get, he circumcises this old man, the body of sins. There's things that we, you know, we've talked about them, but, and see, this is where the doctrine is coming in. If you remember some of those things, all that stuff you begin to think about that happened to you.
Yep.
Remember we were going over all those process words?
Yep.
You remember that? All that stuff happens to you at one time. How could you get excited if you don't know?
That's
true. See, I'm not picking on you, but some of us, we sitting there now and say, what were those words?
That was the first thing come to my mind.
I don't remember those words.
It was an I-O-N word.
Listen, I know those words like my name. And I know how those things work. Like I know my way home. Because
I'm lucky for that. Just to
find my way home. It works. It works. And if you don't know, that's why we, like Roy said, that's why we go over them.
Rubber tish.
To get your mind right. You get your mind right, you cut out some of that monkey shine, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you'll do. Now, Lord, you see, 2 Corinthians. Okay, now we go back to 8. About your mind, getting your mind right, right?
Mm-hmm.
8
what?
10. 8.
10.
10. 8. I'm sorry, yeah, 10. 2 Corinthians 10.
Right.
And 5.
He says, look at verse 3. We'll start at verse 3. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through,
pull it down.
Through God. To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity most of my thoughts, some of my thoughts, to the what?
Obedience
of Christ.
That's how we fight.
That's how do you fight it, Lawrence? You just said, how do you fight it?
By bringing every thought into captivity and bringing to obedience of Christ. How you will work.
Every
thought.
But he says bringing it into the captivity to Christ.
Yes, to Christ, yes.
Now, Christ's not around here physically.
But his doctrine is.
But his doctrine is. So you have your, here's your mind right here. And you, right now, you know we feel with all, it's all darkness, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Just say there's no.
It looks like I'm leaving my mouth open.
There's no. Everything in here is just bad doctrine. Stuff we learned from the world, right?
Right.
Whether it was 20 years worth, 30 years worth, 40 years worth.
Just stupid.
Right. So,
but we didn't know this when we were 20.
And that's what we're doing. Look, he says this. In time past, we walked according to the course of this world, mm-hmm. fulfilling the lust of the flesh and the lust of the mind. Right?
Yeah, right.
We did all those stupid things. And we learned those stupid things. But you know what we do now?
TV, huh?
We still learn those stupid things. You think this godly information that's coming to us?
Some channels there is.
Some of them are. Some of them are. Some of them are. But most of them aren't. So all we do is... But God says this. He says, don't be conformed to the world. He says, you should be transformed by the
renewing.
Get this out. But you don't get that out when you put this in. So, he says, now, bring every thought into captivity. Whatever situation it is, whatever comes up, well, he said, well, I couldn't be saved. You had the little thought bubble. You know, I couldn't be saved because of whatever. Right?
Yeah.
Well, to bring that thought into captivity to Christ, what doctrine would you put up here? There you go. How many?
All of them.
All of them. You've just brought that bad thought into captivity. Any high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Christ is this. He'll say, whatever it is, like in the Old Testament, where Korah, this is Moses' family, right?
Yeah.
Moses was God's spokesman, his man, right? They rose up against Moses. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, you take too much on yourself. You're the only one God speaking by? And Moses said, don't do this. I'm paraphrasing. He said, don't do this. You're messing with the wrong guy. And they kept going. And then God said, you tell them to come out. Outside here, you get in your group, and then he says, you watch me do a new thing. And the earth opened up, swallowed them up, and then he said, next. Anybody else want to question it? That's what you should do with your thoughts. Is when you start thinking things that aren't in line with the doctrine, but you can't do that if you don't know, the doctrine. That's why when you read through here, and that's what I wrote down there, is it's by the doctrine rightly divided, working in us as we believe it, is how we become victorious. And it says, and this information is confirmed in all of Paul's epistles.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
That's true.
And what it does, it graduates. Mm-hmm. It just gets stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
Like kindergarten, fifth grade, eighth grade, 12th grade, junior college, grad school, Romans to Philemon. He says, you get this doctrine and you watch this. You watch it. Now, look at Timothy.
First
Timothy chapter 3. Now, when Paul writes to Timothy, now Timothy is one of those, he's one of those graduates.
At a young age.
Thank you. He knew the doctrine. Paul told Timothy, he said, you have known the doctrine from a youth. And not just that, look, before we look at chapter 3, look back at, that's 2 Timothy. Flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Hold your hand in 1 Timothy, but flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. He's writing to Timothy again. He says, but thou hast fully known my what?
Doctrine.
My manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now, he's writing to Timothy. He says, you have fully known my what?
Doctrine.
Now let me ask you something. Is that why Timothy followed Paul as a father, as a son, and the father in the gospel? You think he followed Paul because he just knew everything Paul talked about?
He had to know the doctrine.
I mean, right. He says, but he says, you know my doctrine. He says, but you fully known it. But that doesn't mean that he would follow Paul, because people knew Paul's doctrine and they left him.
That's true.
Didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Timothy, he known it fully because he
practiced.
He believed it.
Yeah, he believed it. Practiced.
He believed it. He didn't just know it all. He believed it. And even Timothy got to a point where he says, I know it, but he had some information that was being imputed in him that he couldn't handle the pressure, and he wanted to quit. So Paul, that's why Paul had to write 2 Timothy, and he says,
continue.
Stir it up.
Okay.
Get your butt up and start working.
Stir it up.
Start studying. Start practicing.
Stir up that pot of doctrine. He says it's got to work. You got to believe it. So he says, you have fully known my doctrine. And then he says the next thing was what? My what? Manner of life. Look, doctrine, manner of life. And then he lists all those things that he went through. And the things that Paul went through, he says, it was for you. Look, maybe I didn't say that right. He said, you know my doctrine. Paul got the doctrine how?
Through Jesus Christ.
So he got it, right? You know my manner of life. The reason he did this is because he had that. And he believed that. Right? And he says, then he goes on to say all these other things. Now look, when he first got saved, what did he say? The Lord said this. He's my chosen vessel. I will show him
the things he must suffer.
For my name's sake, right?
Yeah.
He's my chosen vessel. He's going to work for me. I'll show him how much he'll suffer for my purpose. For this, I've chosen you as a vessel, a minister, right?
Right.
And as he got this doctrine, he began to practice it. And he did when he got through with his ministry, he says, I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. The Lord, he's going to reward me. He's going to give me what he evaluates. Because everything I can say, I can say that I've done it because he told me to do it. I'm working with him. Right?
Right.
Now, what did I say? Timothy chapter
3.
1 Timothy. Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 3.
3, right.
Here we go. He's writing to Timothy. And this is with the local assembly in mind. He begins to focus on the people. This, you know what this is? You know, this is a local assembly. Mm-hmm. You know, people have a misunderstanding about the church. The church is not this brick and mortar.
But that's what we've been led.
That's what we've been taught. That's what we've been taught. So we've been taught that. So our practice is bad. Mm-hmm. So we think like this. I won't get bogged down on this. You can't do that in church. But I can do it at home. You're not working with God. Because your doctrine is bad. But you think when I leave the building, I've left him. Right?
Well, yeah.
I don't think you actually think
but
that.
Most folks think that.
People think that. Right. But you don't know. Now, the doctrine has said this. What? What? Know ye not that he's in you? Your body is the temple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God. And you are not your own. You've been. Therefore, doctrine. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Glorify God. Do what he wants done. Think what he wants you to think. Act the way he wants you to act. Further his cause, not your cause. Right?
Right.
But if you think that the building on what street is this?
Virginia.
If you think you left God on Virginia in summer, then when you hit what street you live on?
Oh, gosh, ML King.
When you hit ML King Boulevard, then you're going to act like Lawrence because you got bad doctrine. When I hit Hines, I'm going to act a fool because I think I left God on Virginia. That's bad doctrine. Bad doctrine begets bad practice. Okay, he's writing to the church. He says this, 14. After he's given Timothy all this information, he says, these things, look, these things,
doctrine.
This doctrine, write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to what? Practice. Mm-hmm. How thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Do you know why this is so important? Where all this is so important is because God wants to work with us. He says, I've got this gospel is invested in us. He says this. He said, we have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. So, guys, you know this is a treasure?
Mm-hmm.
This doctrine is a treasure. And he says, I'm entrusting it to you. And he says, now, I'm giving it to you, some information that you might know how thou ought to behave thyself. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about me. I mean, you can worry about me in love, but don't point at me if you're not helping me, but how thou ought to behave thyself in the church of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. What does the pillar do?
Holds you up.
It holds you up. Pillar and stay. A support. Right. Thank you. Of the what? Of the truth.
Of the doctrine. Okay.
The truth is resting, supported on us. That's why he goes on and says, look, And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And most people say that's Jesus Christ. I wouldn't argue with that, because God was manifest in that body. But guess where else he's manifested? In you. Woo. So, if you saw something where they would say, you want to see God? When Jesus Christ was on earth, it says the word became flesh. Right? Mm-hmm. Everything God wanted to say, wanted to get across to us, wanted to show us, wanted to do for us, he put it in Christ. And Christ did what?
Right.
He carried it out. The word. He carried it out. And when he got through, he says, I've always worked with my Father. Always. I always do the things that what?
That he asked me to do.
Mm-hmm. That please him. Not my will, but so you can say he was godly. When he died, they said, surely he must be the Son of God. He must be working with, he must be God's Son. When he was 12 years old, he says, we've been looking for you. Where you been? Why would you leave your father and me like that? And he says, what?
God be about my father.
I'm doing his work. And we talk, and it wasn't making tables. Right?
Right.
Other than the table for us. That's a nugget. But let's finish up. Titus chapter 1. He says,
Timothy.
Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is what? After godliness. He says this, the acknowledging of the truth acknowledges this. I always say it's acting on the knowledge. Is he gives us this body of truth, and he says, now you believe this. This body of doctrine, when you acknowledge it, he says, it's after this. It's after godliness. You know what that means? That one plus one equals two. The doctrine promotes this equals that. He says, "It's that's the math." You do the math. You take this doctrine, if you believe it, and you begin to practice it, it comes out in your behavior. And not just that, when I say your behavior, it is you're doing what God wants done. You don't have to guess about it. In every situation, okay, Annette, you says, I want that to happen. Renew your mind. And when you renew your mind, believe it. Believe it. When it comes up, you bring that thought into captivity. He says this, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That you might prove it. I won't see it. But if you don't believe it, if you don't have it, forget it. But if you have it and you don't believe it, forget it. You have to have it and you have to believe it. And that's where we are. It's you can accumulate it, but until you believe it, it's just sitting there.
Just knowledge.
It's just knowledge. And knowledge puffeth up. So I watch hoarding on TV. There you go. Hoarders. My wife's, and those people, they don't appreciate that stuff they have.
But it'd be hidden.
It's hidden. It's just piles and piles of stuff.
I don't see that you watch.
But the minute you try to
somebody that I can't watch.
Oh, what? Hey, that's a good point. He says, some of that I can't watch. I'm going to show you something. Believers, the same way. You get all that knowledge, and it just begins to pile up, and you stink. Because they'll say, well, he know a lot. But the way he talked to her, he didn't get that verse right. Or do you see the way he talked to them? See the way he treat them? Mm-hmm. Or whatever it is, or the shortcoming might be, they see it. Mm-hmm. But the minute you say, hey, brother, you shouldn't talk to her like that, he gets mad. Like those hoarders. Don't take that. Yeah. I'm going to use that. When? You don't even know where it is.
Don't even know what it is.
So, what we have to do is we take heed, like Paul said, take heed to the doctrine and unto thyself. Mm-hmm. For in doing that, he said, we shall save ourselves and them that hear us.
Yes. We just read that.
Yeah.
Did you just read that?
Just read that before he came in.
Take heed to it. And what we do is, I love it. We read it. But I want it to transform me.
Yes.
Daily. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, situation by situation, I want it to work. Because I want to bring glory to God. I want to adorn the doctrine. I want people to see that God is doing something. And it ain't scoring touchdowns. Right? It's transforming a life to be like him. So somebody will say, you know what? I've been watching you. And what church you go to? That's what they're. And then you can say, well, let me tell you about the church. Let me tell you about the real church. But that's what we come for, is to do this, rehearse it. Roy, to help us get our mind right. So our practice could be right.
Yeah.
Well, it's all of that.
Then you can tell others about what God will do, what he's doing. Right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We pray that we would take these things and meditate on them and give ourselves wholly to them, that our profiting might appear to all. We pray once again for those who are not here. Lord, for those who have us in their prayers. We pray for all those